What is up, everybody? My name is John Sparks. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody out there that's been showing love and support on the Instagram, the Facebook page, all the podcasting platforms. You guys freaking rock, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And I think we're all really enjoying this journey together as we learn more about UFOs, cryptids, spirits, ghosts, demons, everything that goes bump in the night. And if you guys want to support the show, guess what? I just dropped merch. That's right. If you go to the Instagram page or you go to the Facebook page, you'll find a link there. It's going to get you some sweet, sweet paranormal swag. Maybe some dope hats, some wicked sweet t-shirts, maybe even a bandana for your paranormal pup. That's right. Grab a bandana, slap it on that pup. I want to see a picture on Instagram. With that being said, grab a seat, kids. Get ready, because it's about to get crazy on a brand new episode of Sparks of the Paranormal. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, John Sparks, here for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that listened to our last episode with Mr. Joe Vitale. We danced around a lot of things. We danced around the word. I don't like using the word, but demon. It was a demon. So let's just all take a breath and agree, demon. Now, on the brighter side of things today, I stumbled across this guy while listening to an episode of The Grave Talks with Tony Bruschi while vacuuming at work. And immediately, I got on Instagram, dug him up, sent him a message, and I'm so excited to have him here. Ladies and gentlemen, Angel Medium, Dr. Michael Terzi. How you doing today?
Hi, great. Thanks for so much having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's man, when I heard your story, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I have to have this guy.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. You know, I mean, I love doing podcasts. I love being able to talk to people about not just my story, but about the angels that I meet, about the different things that have happened to me over the course of just a few years. And, you know, just trying to make it accessible to everybody, because I don't know if you found this being in the paranormal field, but sometimes there are certain people say that are part of the paranormal field, but I'm a doctor, and since I've been doing this, I've met so many others that are just curious enough, you know. And so then as I try to link the spiritual and the science together, and I try to make people realize that it's all around us, and it's something that I didn't know for most of my life, but then as soon as it hit me, it was something that was just a part of me. And so I think it's something that a lot of people are missing.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, to have somebody with a scientific background and then to end up with this spiritualism, this gift that, I mean, I believe was literally given to you by God himself. Like, it's amazing that you can make those go hand in hand and be able to give a little bit more of an explanation from both sides. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I always try to do, you know, and I always tell people that whether it was something that was supposed to happen or something that just happened all of a sudden, obviously they're not telling me, but it's something that I know that I was supposed to do, and it was the part of me, like I said, that was missing, and I hope to be able to encourage others to look into it too.
Yeah, so let's dig right into the meat of it. How did you realize that you had this gift? Like, I've got to know, how did it go?
Yeah, it was a crazy ride, honestly. First of all, I've had a couple of experiences when I was a kid, just like a lot of people that might be listening. I saw a spirit when I was young. That kind of was the only experience that I had in that moment. I had a couple of precognitive things that happened where I felt as though I knew something was going to happen before it happened. But as, you know, just an average person just going through their life, we kind of brush those things aside as coincidence, or we just kind of guess that it was going to happen, or we talk about deja vu and things like that happening a lot. So as a kid, I was just kind of just going through the motions. Teenager, everything kind of shut down. Unfortunately, I had little things here and there, but then it just kind of blew up all of a sudden when I was actually in optometry school. I'm an optometrist, for those that are listening, and it was kind of insane to be in class. And as I was taking exams, I'm normally the kind of guy that's very kickback about it all. I was, I pass, I don't, you know, whatever, yeah. You know, you do your best,
yeah,
you know, and I was going through that, but then all of a sudden I started getting more and more anxiety, more and more depression. It seemed like I was having panic attacks as I was driving home, and I had no idea why it was happening. Then it escalated to the point where I was even hearing things in my head. I thought, like, getting thoughts from other people, like, I'm going to change my answer from B to D, or my dad's going to kill me if I don't pass this test, or what am I going to do with my life? You know, all these things just coming at me as I'm taking an exam. So much so that I had asked to go to the bathroom a few times during my national board exams, because I was in the room with 150 people with all that anxiety, because these board exams determine your progression through the course, you know?
Yeah.
And so as I started to deal with this, it took about a year for me to finally fess up to my wife and tell her this is what's been going on with me. Because by the time I got home during my 2-hour commute, I'd be putting on a happy face. You know, I'd be like, hey, I'm good. I'm doing fine. Little did she know I was having these issues as I was driving. And she looked at me and she kind of looked down and she said, well, maybe you're an empath. And I said, well, what's an empath? And she says, I have no idea. Let's look it up. And it was one of those jokes that I keep telling because it was so poignant, is that it was one of her gifts that she just kind of just knew certain things.
Yeah.
And that kind of escalated too. But we looked it up, and as a doctor, I was like, oh, I have these symptoms of being an empath. And now, you know, using the air quotes around symptoms, because that's just one of the things that my brain went to was, oh, this is a thing that I'm going through. Mm-hmm. But as it turned out, it was just a part of me. And as I learned more and more about it, I tried to use it to control it, to make it a strength of mine, and and make this gift a part of me. Because a lot of empaths that I've spoken with, especially over the years, have said just like what I thought. It was a curse at first. It was something that I couldn't control, that I was feeling everyone's emotions and energy as if they were my own, and there was nothing I could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But little did I know that as I progressed through all of this, there was a lot that I could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, as my empathy continued to increase, as I tried to shut it down, which was very counterintuitive to what I was trying to do, I saw my first human spirit. And that was an interesting experience. I wasn't scared. I was startled, of course, to say the least, but I was curious because I saw this silhouette and I saw movement. And it was almost like it was trying to talk to me, but I was hearing it like the Charlie Brown teacher, like that wah, 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 and I couldn't hear him. I just couldn't get what the guy was saying. And I knew it was a man. I could see he was wearing like a jacket of some sort and boots, and there was all this going on. And finally, I said to him, hopefully you can hear me, but I can't understand you. Is there some other way that I could get what you're trying to tell me? Because I was curious, you know, being a guy of science, I'm always curious about the unknown. And I started getting images in my head and little pictures of things. And needless to say, I talked to him for a while, and then I didn't see him again. So I was thinking maybe he got off his chest what he needed to get off. Maybe whatever I said to him was able to help him. Whatever the case was, it blew up. And then all of a sudden I started seeing human spirits all over the place. And I hadn't become a medium yet because I was just concerned, to say the least. It was empathy to seeing spirits, to seeing energy around people and things. And it was very disorienting. And so one day I just kind of had it, and I was just complaining and venting to my wife, who has been a super huge support throughout all of this. And as I was like, I don't want this. I just want to be a doctor. I just want to just do what I was supposed to do. This is insane. And then all of a sudden I saw this amazingly white light that I describe in other shows that I've done too, where it's just, my heart was just beating so fast. And I actually had to move my third eye and my actual physical eyes away from this light because it was so bright, even though no one else could see it. It was so amazingly beautiful. And as it came in my second story window, and it was coming closer to me, enveloped almost the entire room.
Wow.
My wife's like, what's wrong? What's going on with you? And I'm like, what? And I looked and I had tears streaming down my face, but I wasn't crying. It was just the unconditional love and comfort and support. It was just amazing to feel. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening right now. There's this light. And then all of a sudden I got this voice in my head, Michael, I am your guardian angel. And I was like, what? And I was just so shocked. But there was no other explanation for it. The positive energy. And like I said, I get chills whenever I tell the story, because it's the unconditional love that I felt from it was like nothing else I had ever felt. It was so pure. And as he came in and he was telling me, Michael, I'm your guardian angel, I was like, okay, you know, hi, you know. And he said, now, for lack of better terms, he basically said, cut the crap. And I'm like, what happened? Is my angel mad at me now? What did I do wrong? And he's like, just accept it. This is a part of you. This is who you are. The empathy, the mediumship, being able to see and speak with me. This is you. You may have that other things, but this is something that you need to accept in order to become whole. And it was amazing, because then from then on, I spoke with him. I saw my other angels that were on my team, my wife. I gave her readings. I came out of the spiritual closet to my family, and I started giving readings to my parents and my sister and her husband. And then one day it just kind of blew up to the point where I was starting off with strangers, which was scary to say the least. You know, what if what I get doesn't resonate? What if they don't understand what I'm saying? What if I'm wrong? You know, but it clicked. And for the past 3 years, I've been doing readings for people. You know, it's been an amazing thing. Even being able to connect with angels. Sorry, I just keep going on. But my wife, after I had an experience with a spirit where I helped them kind of find their way, find their angel, because they were so low and sad. It was a little boy, which I'm writing about in a book that I'm writing right now. This little boy was stuck. He was so sad, lonely, confused, and I was able to speak with him, because after my angel came to me, I was able to hear human spirits finally. For some reason, that just opened it all up. And I was able to find his angel and brought his angel in so that he could see him, so that he could go with him and move on to the light.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I told my wife all about it, because she has many gifts, but unfortunately being able to see those things isn't one of them. She said, we have to do this. And so that's why she created Rise Paranormal with me. It was her idea. She started creating that. And Rise is Rise and Inspire Soul Empowerment, because that's what we do. We try to talk with the spirits to try to empower them, to let them know they're not stuck. They can move on. They don't have to be here anymore, and they can be happy too.
Yeah.
So that's basically the long and short of it.
So that last little bit there, that raised, it's crazy that you brought that up, because I was talking with a really good friend of mine, and we were having a conversation about if you can help a spirit to change its destiny of where it is headed after death. Like, if they were a negative spirit, can you still guide them towards the light? Or are they continually set down that path? Like, do you... So can you do that?
It's an interesting question, because I think the way the angels explained it to me is a little bit different than what people may look at. I mean, I was raised Catholic and Jewish, so I kind of had, like, two different sides. I always make the stupid dad joke of being a cashew. And I eventually went down the road of Christianity because my parents gave me the choice, which one do you resonate with the most, I guess you could say. And I kind of went down that road for a while. And one of the things that I know that is taught is that if there's a negative entity that did something terrible, that they're basically, for lack of a better term, damned for all eternity.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people hold to. And from what the angels told me, yes, there is punishment. But the punishment itself is not eternal. It's for a set period of time. So this goes down a huge rabbit hole. But basically, one of the big things that I know is that, from what you were asking, if there's a negative spirit that is, you know, was a murderer or was, you know, something horrible in their life, and now they're stuck, and I talk with them and I help them to be able to see the light while I'm doing my work, during clearings or hauntings or things like that, during investigations, that spirit is still responsible for the things they did in that life. Because a lot of people might believe or accept, like I have, that we've had multiple lifetimes. So if there are multiple lives, you know, people can't have had 8 lifetimes where they were perfectly amazing people. There have been lives where I've done where people have been kind of bad. And so that soul is still responsible for what they did in that last life. So they will go to a place that, for lack of a better term, I've called it the hell dimension, where that is still going to the light, but they go to this place of darkness, and it's cut off from a lot, and they're faced with all the terrible things they did in life as a punishment. So there is punishment that they have to go through. Everyone's a little different for the amount of time that they have to go through this. And then I was told that as soon as they are done with their time, they're immediately sent back, no choice, no choice in where they go in their next life, to continue to kind of
redeem,
make up for the things that they did, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So that is the way I see that their destiny can be changed, is that they're not stuck in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They learn that they have to take responsibility for what they've done,
mm-hmm.
and then they move on knowing that they do have punishment awaiting them, which is a tough thing for any kind of spirit to want to go to, but they know that there's something at the end of it to where they can better themselves again and correct the mistakes that they made before.
Mm.
So yeah, that's, well, it's good. So it's a little bit different take, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that raises a whole nother question in my mind, that say they already did their punishment for one lifetime and are immediately sent back for redemption, didn't learn their lesson, they pass away again, and is it possible to know in a second lifetime that you've already done this before and be like, I'm just gonna hang around because I know what's waiting for me? Like, I wonder if that's possible. I don't know.
That is an interesting thing that people have brought up to me, actually. So that's a really good question. One of the things that I learned from, again, talking with my guardians, is that when we come into this life, obviously when we're in body, we don't really remember the lifetimes that we've had or the experiences that we had during those lives. We're meant to be able to learn and grow, and for some people to make up for the things that we had previously.
Mm-hmm.
When we pass away, if a soul is in the negative, like, let's say they didn't learn their lesson, like you said, and they did some horrible things during this other life, even though they were sent back to kind of make up for it, which has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
When they are in that space of negativity, they don't really know what happened before previously still. It's when they actually go to the light that mm-hmm. they realize that this is something that has happened before. It's because they're so low that they're not connected with that source of knowledge, or they're in a sense of denial where they just don't, they aren't able to access that information,
mm-hmm.
because the soul retains all of that. But when you're in that state of mind, which a soul is still in that state of mind, I guess you could say, even after they pass away. So there was a murderer, he passed on, he went to that dimension, he had that punishment, he came back, he did stupid stuff again in that life, he passed away, he still doesn't quite remember what happened in that previous life.
Hmm.
So that's what I was told. Could there be anomalies where yeah, that could happen? Of course, I believe there could be, where maybe they do pass on, they're like, oh no, I screwed up again, I'm not moving on, I don't want that punishment again.
Mm-hmm.
But all the ones that I've encountered haven't had that issue, and they have agreed to move on. So just from my own experience, I haven't met that particular anomaly yet, but it could be.
Interesting.
I always allow for that. Yeah.
Wow.
Hopefully that answers the question somewhat.
It does. It's just, I don't know, there's so many things that run through my mind that I want answers for, but part of me is like, I don't want the answers because I may not be ready for the answer. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why I think that hasn't been brought up before, because, you know, I mean, a couple of people here and there that I've done readings for, you know, they've asked that similar question that you asked, but mm-hmm. no one else on a podcast has really asked that question before, because I think it's something that not a lot of people realize, or maybe their mind isn't going that way. And sometimes it's because maybe they're not ready for that answer.
Yeah.
There's a few things that I've been told that I feel like not everyone would understand that. It's tough to be able to kind of go into those things, especially when we have so many other previous beliefs mm-hmm. that people have lived with for many, many years.
Yeah.
It's tough for people to kind of change their way of thinking. So yeah, it was an interesting question. Thanks. I haven't been able to talk about that yet. And yeah, it can happen, I'm sure. But so far, just from my own experience, I can't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. So how long has Rise Paranormal been in existence?
So we started helping out spirits like this with the group probably about 2.5-3 years. We got a lot more. Yeah, you know, basically the ball got rolling a lot more last year mm-hmm. with a lot more cases and a lot of other things that we've been doing. Even going to a few, you know, well-known places to see what kind of spirits we can kind of help out. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
We haven't been able to do a lot of filming with all the stuff that we've been doing. Plus, I don't know if people will really find it interesting seeing me just sitting there talking to a spirit, because you can't really see the spirit all the time. Although we do use paranormal equipment while we do it. So a lot of the times we have answers coming through on a spirit box, or answers coming through on an EVP later on when we listen to the digital voice recorder
mm-hmm.
that correlate with the things that I was saying.
Yeah.
So that's why I always say, if there are paranormal groups that have mediums don't neglect using equipment, because they can always substantiate some of the things that you were feeling or some of the things that you were doing while it was going on. So now you have physical evidence that you can show people, and also the things that you were experiencing. Yeah. So that's why we use both. Again, we want to do science and spiritual together. We want to show that it's real and that it works.
Yeah, I completely agree with that standing. I did an investigation, my first investigation in like 10 years, last Saturday. And I knew that I was sensitive, but I didn't know how much. And my friend was like, we're just going to go in with nothing. And I'm like, no, we're not. Because I'm paranoid and I need to have some corroboration from something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. I always tell people to at least bring something. I mean, you know, you got a spirit box, you know, if you're cool enough, or you know, if you have enough to be able to get the, like, an SLS camera, or, you know, a thermal camera, or even just, you know, a full spectrum, or more power to you. Bring all that stuff in, because there's, you know, that's what actually, you know, I started off with, was one of the things that helped me to realize it was, you know, it's cliche to say that, you know, we watched some shows when I was, you know, an undergrad and thing before all this stuff happened. But yeah, it was things like Ghost Hunters and, you know, Ghost Adventures and things like that we watched here and there. Mm-hmm. That I was always happy when they debunked something, because, again, being a man of science, having not opened up yet, I was like, oh, yeah, come on, ghosts, you know, is this really real? You know, oh, look, yeah, it was just this. It was just that door was off kilter, or it was just, you know, this happening. And so, but it was there that I saw that, obviously, and then my wife also, very big part of it was like, we need that physical evidence too. And so it's not every time we go to a case that we get some amazing physical evidence, but, you know, I know paranormal investigators can always say, yeah, we don't always get amazing stuff every time we go, but there were some things that were pretty amazing, even things when we didn't expect to get it. There was even a podcast, because we have a Rise podcast, which we don't do as much anymore since COVID, for different reasons. But during one of the first recordings of the intro podcast, I guess you could say, we actually caught an EVP. And it was weird, because we didn't expect that to happen. And we actually, it was something that I put on my Facebook, I think, a while back. And it was just this EVP of this little girl that was walking around and laughing. And because we were doing the podcast, I wasn't paying attention, but there were no little girls around. You know, we were in someone's home, you know, everything was enclosed, no, nothing. And all of a sudden we got this, we couldn't make out the words, but we heard the laughing. And I was like, what is going on? I'm like, wow. So there was spirit just right around there. And oh man, I should have been paying attention. That would have been great, you know? And so, yeah, it was an interesting thing. So I tell people to always have something around, you know, and you'll be able to catch something eventually.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's not every time, but yeah, it's always good to have both of those with corroboration. Like, you need it, you know, especially to help you realize, because if you are sensitive, this can help build your confidence, you know, to show like, I was feeling something, and then here's some proof.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just one of those, and I'm sure you felt like this at the beginning, where you think you're just nuts a little bit. Like, you think you may be a little crazy. And, then you have to have that piece of equipment there to be like, I mean, you're crazy, but you're not that crazy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, people come to me with readings or stories, and they say, yeah, I feel crazy telling you about this. I'm like, hey, I talk to angels. You know, there isn't anything crazier, I think, out there. You know, I mean, and I help spirits, and I do all this. I'm like, whatever you tell me, I'm open-minded to it. And I wasn't, you know, 5 years ago, but now being into it and experiencing for myself, you have to be. And when I first started, especially doing readings, I was nervous, because what am I going to get? I mean, yeah, doing a reading for my wife or for my parents or for, you know, people that I know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, am I drawing on stuff that I previously knew and I was just using intuition to kind of take it a step further? But even with my own wife, there were things that she didn't tell me that the angel told me. And she's like, I never told you about that. Or, you know, then doing readings for strangers, I was very nervous. But that's how it builds up, is that you do it and then they tell you, wow, affirmation. That was exactly what happened. That was his name. That was how it went, you know, and then you start building up and realizing, I'm not just guessing. These are things that I'm actually receiving. And then as I did that, the connection became stronger between me and other people's angels, other spirits. And now it's just kind of snowballed into this. So yeah, crazy at first, maybe still a little nuts, but you know, that's one of the things that I know now is that I'm not so crazy that this isn't real. And that I know that it's real because I've done, I don't know how many readings now, and everyone has resonated with this stuff. So yeah.
So, man, there's just so much to unpack. Like, there's so many questions that I want to ask. But, I don't know how to ask this question. So when it comes to your readings, have you ever had any that literally changed someone, like changed their decision, like major life decision, like, and even. I'll get to the other question here in a minute. So have you had one that has literally completely changed somebody's outlook and made them change a major decision?
Yeah, there have been quite a few, which I'm very honored to be able to have been a part of it. You know, like I always tell people, and maybe this is me being a little bit too humble, but I always say it's not me, it's your angel. Yeah. So when they hear this life-changing news or they're inspired by something their angel said, I was your angel. I'm just the middleman. You know, I'm just, you know, giving you the information. Yeah. I'm delivering it in a way that I think people will understand it better than if the angel just came in and just started telling them stuff. Mm-hmm. So maybe I have a little part in it, but you know, I always say this was just from them. And you know, there have been a couple people where I helped them to get off of doing certain, you know, narcotics or things like that, where they were being hindered by this. Mm-hmm. And the angel told me straight up, they're addicted. This is what's going on. And their angel gave me pieces of information and inspirational words to help them. And then they would give me feedback later on saying, I've been off now, I've been sober for 6 months. Thank you so much for that reading. That really started changing my life. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, your angel was hoping this was going to happen. And so I'm really happy for you that you've gone down a better path now. Mm-hmm. There was a friend of mine that I didn't realize it so much at the time, but it was when I first started out, I connected him with his angel. And then his wife told me, you basically saved his life because he was an alcoholic. And the day that we met you was the day that he had started going down the path of, you know, joining AA and trying to change himself, but it was really difficult. And having his angel there to talk to helped him to be able to get through the toughest time, which is the beginning of any kind of, you know, rehab. And she says, you know, I truly believe that that reading really helped save him. So thank you so much. And he, you know, and he's been sober now for, I think it's almost 3 years now, because that was when I first started doing these. And so it's been really amazing. And I still keep in touch with them, you know, and it's really great that it was something that I could be a part of. So, and then of course there are job changes that the angels bring up. Hey, you're going to have a new opportunity coming up within the next couple of months. Just be open to it. They give little details here and there, but they can't say exactly what the new job is, you know, because then it changes things. And so then there was one person that I said, job's changing within the next 2 months, you know, be open. It's going to be different. Go for it. And so she said, okay, cool. Gave me feedback, which not everyone gives me feedback months later, saying, yeah, that job opportunity came up. I moved to a different city. I took that job and it's been amazing ever since. So thanks so much. I never would have taken it if I hadn't known that my angel was for it. Yeah. So it was one of those things that it was a good, like, little thing, you know, it helps people to be able to kind of lead them down the path to make a right decision, I guess you could say, because they basically guide and empower us. They don't live our lives, obviously. So it was really great to be a part of those things. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool, because my theory on how we live our lives is I believe that every decision that we make is almost like a fork in the road, and we can either choose to stay on God's path or we can veer off, and then there comes another decision that can either take us back or we continue to veer off. And I don't know if that's literally how it works, but from what you're telling me is that there literally are a million decisions. One will inevitably lead you down the path that you're meant to be on, or you could continue to be a turd and veer off.
Yeah, that's one of the things. This is kind of funny. Just like an easy one was my own experience. After graduating from undergrad, I was a kinesiology major, and So I was going down the road of maybe doing physical therapy. Mm-hmm. That eventually turned differently for other experiences that I had. But I did very well in that program in kinesiology, pre-physical therapy. And, you know, one of the head of the department later on came to me and said, hey, we would love it if you would help assist, now that you've graduated, be an assistant professor in a new satellite school we're opening up in your city. It just so happened you live there. And so that would be really cool for you to kind of get into that. And then maybe that will lead to being a permanent professor in this course. And so I said, wow, you know, that's interesting. And I thought about it for a little while, but at the time I had it in my head that I was going down the road of a doctor. And so mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I'm going to thank you, but I don't have a lot of time. I'm studying for the test to get into the school. I'm getting ready for all that stuff. I just don't have the time. And plus, I already had another job. So, because I've worked ever since I was 15. So mm-hmm. I just don't have the time for it. So thank you. I appreciate it. And when I eventually awoke to all this stuff all those years later, my angel said, yeah, you were supposed to be a teacher. You were supposed to do that. Like, that was one of the things you were supposed to do. But like, I was like, oh, stupid, you know. And the angels always say, they tell me that they just kind of do the facepalm, you know. They're like, okay, they missed it. Well, let's kind of bring them back around again. And so now lately, before COVID hit, unfortunately, but now hopefully things are start clearing up in the new year, I have an opportunity to become a teacher again. So we miss it. But then, depending on how our lives go, the path always comes back around again. Yeah. Obviously, if we do something really rough, you know, going down the path where you're, as you said, a really big turd, and you do really terrible things,
yeah,
those paths come up, but the people continue to miss them, and they continue to go down the wrong road. But if we're open and we're ready to receive their messages, which in readings I talk about different ways that the angel can communicate with you, because every angel is a little custom to the person. If we're open to those messages and we just have faith in those messages and just go forward with it, because it's not always intuitive that it's going to be, that it's exactly what we thought it was going to be, then we can always get back on that path again. And I truly believe that when I was a kid and I started getting all this stuff happening to me and then I shut it down, he probably facepalmed right then. He's like, ah, no, he was supposed to start doing this when he was 15, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then eventually it comes back around. Unfortunately, it was like 15 years later, obviously, when I was 30, when I opened up and it finally clicked, you know. And then, of course, the whole thing with the teaching happened when I was in my mid-20s. And then now coming back around again in my mid-30s. Now, all of a sudden, there it is again. It may take some time, but we always get back on the right path if we are able to see that that is the path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm glad that I just got some verification there. I'm kind of happy on that one. So for those of us that are out here and say we don't have access to an angel medium, how can we become more attuned and find our guide, our angel, and how do we listen to them?
Okay, that's a good question. First of all, if you don't have access to an angel medium, obviously, which I know there are probably some others out there, I haven't met a lot of them. There's been one that I really do believe has a similar gift that I do. There's been a couple that I feel might be doing it for wrong reasons. And so obviously not naming names, but there are certain people out there that you have to just make sure that you trust. Mm-hmm. I obviously, especially with the whole COVID thing as has happened, do a lot of Zoom readings. So if anyone's listening and you're not in California, which is where I live, obviously, I do Zoom. I can do distance readings just as well as I've been doing in local readings. And so it's been really great. So if people are interested, look me up. But to get our own stuff, I always tell people that although not everyone's an angel medium, I truly believe that everyone can at some point hear, see, feel their own angelic team. Because I always say there's a team behind everybody. I don't just have one main guardian angel. I have like 2, 3, 4 others that are around me trying to help out all the time, as well as some spirit guides, which I distinguish that as spirit guides are human spirits. Guardian angels are angelic spirits. So there's two different kinds of souls, I guess you could say.
Okay.
And so there's a team. I truly believe everyone can kind of connect with that. How can we do that? There's a universal thing that I always say, is that all angels, no matter who they're with, they all try to talk to us through the word that we use, which is intuition, that gut feeling that we get. Mm-hmm. Don't go down that alleyway. Go talk to that person. You know, don't take that test today. Take it the next day. You know, there are little things that we feel that are right. And sometimes we listen to it. Sometimes we don't. It's the red and green flags. You know, I've had people say that after I've met them. There was one guy that said that he was going to work on 9/11, and he lived in New York, and he worked very close to the towers, and he got a feeling I shouldn't go in today. Why he was able to get that feeling and others weren't, you know, I mean, everyone's a little bit different, but it did save him. And so it was one of those things that we have to listen to those kinds of intuitive connections. Like I said, sometimes people will talk it away. They'll say, oh, that's just coincidence. I'm just making this up in my head. You know, sometimes that gut feeling people can say is that indigestion, that I have that I eat something bad last night. You know, I don't really know what's happening right now. So they have specific ways that they can talk to us. Unfortunately, I don't know every possible way that everyone out there, their angel will communicate with them. Mm-hmm. But when I do readings, I specifically say, this angel is very visual. So they use visual cues. This angel is auditory. They're going to use auditory cues to catch your attention. This angel is tactile. So they will be very physical when they talk with you. So there are three different, I guess you could say, subcategories of how they like to talk. And then they'll use a plethora of different things. Some people out there may already know, because they're like, oh, so they do use visual cues. Huh. So whenever I find that nickel or that dime on the ground, that could be a signal, because I've noticed that things happen after I find those coins. Mm. Or, you know, sometimes they talk through animals, or sometimes there's a lot of different ways that angels try to get at us. Unfortunately, they can't all just come right at us in front of our face like I was lucky enough to have, and for us to be able to see them and hear them and talk with them all the time.
Yeah.
But the last thing I'll say about that is, if we do start noticing those signs and we do start listening and talking with them, then the relationship and the bond between you and your guardian grows. And then maybe at first you just heard a little voice. And then maybe as a year goes by, a few months, whatever it is, the voice gets louder. And it becomes something that you're able to actually understand and you start to trust. Mm. So that's why I always tell people, you don't need a big ritual. Your angel hears you. You may not be able to hear him or her, but they hear you all the time. Talk with them. Even if you don't know their name yet, because during a reading, I give the names. Just say, you know, my guardian angel, I know you're there. Can you help me with this? They can only do so much unless we ask for the help, because then they'd be interfering in our life. But if we ask, then that free will is literally asking them to help. Mm. And so then they're able to kind of connect with us and help us more. So it's, you know, it's just like anything. You don't get anything if you don't ask. So, yeah.
Wow. So just for everybody out there, I'm going to try to sum it up in dumb boy language. Ask and listen.
Yes, and so that's very good. And slow down. You know, one of the things that I noticed that a lot of angels have been saying lately, especially, is slow down.
Yeah.
Just slow your roll for a minute. Like, there's one way that I talk about with people that they hear about, you know, a lot of us get maybe the ringing in the ear.
Mm-hmm.
And as a doctor, I talk about, you know, tinnitus. That's a real thing, obviously. Very, very high-pitched ringing, but it's usually bilateral and usually associated with other symptoms like neck pain, migraines, even certain eye conditions are associated with tinnitus. So that's a real thing. But the ringing in just the one ear, and it comes in, and it's almost like a melodic type of a ringing. And it's like it's almost like it goes up and down, and then it kind of dissipates over the course of a few seconds. That was a download of information by a lot of angels. They're trying to get with us because their vibration is so high. When they come close to us, it starts this ringing. And then they're downloading info into our heads. They're trying to grab our attention. But people will not slow down for that because they're like, oh, ringing, I'm going to hit my head. I'm going to try to get this ringing to get out of my head. And they'll ignore it. But if you just accept that this is happening, it's 20, 30 seconds. Just slow your roll. Take a deep breath. And just allow the information to come in, you might start getting those messages more and more. And as I told certain people that, they started noticing it. You know, not everyone gets it right away, but continuing to practice with it. Like I said, I firmly believe that everybody can have some sort of relationship with their angel because they want that relationship. The angels want us to know that they're there. And I think they've been overlooked for a really long time. You know, I love the archangels, but that's the extent of what most people know is Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel. They know about these very famous seraphim archangels, which they're amazing. But not a lot of people give a lot of due to the guardians that are there with you all the time.
Okay, so I'm sure you saw my face changing quite a bit there as you were saying that. So,
yeah.
Okay, so I've had tinnitus in my left ear randomly, since I was little, but I've had surgeries on my ears, and I thought it was just left over from that. But as you were explaining what it supposedly sounds like, you just wrecked my life, dude.
That was not my goal. I was not there to wreck your life, no.
I was like, as you're explaining, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way. And you know what's crazy? Literally, as I was listening to the podcast that you were on, that happened.
Yeah.
While I heard it over the podcast and the vacuum cleaner. Okay. So, crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
You were meant to be here. I was meant to talk to you. I was meant to find out that the ringing in my ears is potentially an angel trying to talk to me.
Yeah. I mean, if you ever, just look around, let's see, where are they?
Heard you?
If you've ever wanted a reading, man, let me know, I would love to be able to connect you with them and to see, are they auditory? Are they doing it that way? Sometimes even the physical ones will end up doing that sometimes because they do this thing that I've talked about with some people called head palming, where angels, which you haven't asked yet, but they're actually very, very massive entities. They're huge. I haven't seen an angel under 8 feet tall yet.
Oh,
and
cool.
So they're huge. And so proportionally, they have these ginormous hands. And so they literally take their hand and they put it on top of our heads because our crown chakra is up there, which some people know about chakras, some people don't. We have that crown chakra right on top of our head. Sometimes people will feel a little pressure, a little warmth, a little tingling when they do that. But what will also happen sometimes is the ringing will come in, because if you can imagine their huge hand engulfing our head like a volleyball or a basketball, their fingers and their, whatever it is, are right next to the ear. And so when it's right there, sometimes even physical angels that do that will cause an auditory response because of that vibration. So yeah.
All right, my brain is blown.
Yeah.
Because I've had, randomly I'll have, head pressures.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shaken right now. I'm shaken. Okay, so.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy to the 8 feet tall for one thing. That makes sense. It makes a lot of sense, because now I'm going to go outside the realm of angels and I'm going to go into the creepy world of cryptids when they talk about, Nephilim and some of them being giants. It makes sense now when you actually think about it. And the fact that angels are that big, you just said you haven't seen one under 8 feet tall, which means that there are some larger than 8 feet tall. That's insane.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. And I mean, obviously, their angels are spirits, so they could probably appear whatever size they would want to. But whenever I see them, I haven't seen one under 8 feet. I have one that's behind me that, he's kind of like my energy angel. He helps me with readings and stuff. He helps me to kind of level myself out. But he's 13 feet tall and bald by choice, he says. So he has no hair. He's totally bald. And he's this big hulking angel that's just over me all the time. And he's awesome. But yeah, he's 13 feet tall, and they hover a foot above the ground. So it's basically engulfing the entire room with this angel that's coming. And it's really awesome. And yeah, Nephilim are an interesting topic. I'm going to write a little bit about them in my book as well, because some people have an idea from different things that they've read, like the Book of Enoch or something like that, different kinds of scripts that have been out there. But unfortunately, from what the angels tell me, they've been labeled as something that has been negative or evil, or something that wasn't supposed to be there, there's this whole big thing behind it that not everyone has the full story. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that. But yeah, Nephilim existed. Whether people believe that or not, that's okay. I don't try to change anyone's mind about things like this. But
yeah,
just from what I've been told, they were real, and it was. Mm-hmm. And they were there for a positive influence. Unfortunately, people at the time, just like now, when there's someone different, they see them as a threat.
Exactly.
And so they've been mislabeled and misconstrued as something bad throughout history. And so I'd like to be able to give my take on it. Again, if people like it and it resonates with them, awesome. I've been able to help somebody understand a little bit more. If people are like, no, I believe the teachings of this book, or I believe what this person wrote, I can't control that. That's okay.
Yeah.
But I at least want the information to be out there so that people know it, or they have access to it.
We're all victims of influence in the grand scheme of things, and it's really just who you allow to influence your belief. The fact that for me, you're literally getting it from God's agents is, I think I'm gonna listen to those guys.
That's what I always hope, man. I mean, you know, I always say that I'm just a normal guy, just had this gift. I don't think of myself as the most amazing thing since sliced bread or anything. I just want people to know what their angel wants to tell them.
Yeah.
And yeah, the angels are the agents of the higher power, God, Allah, whatever people want to call him. You know, he has many different names. But no matter what religion, no matter what belief system, even if you don't believe in angels, they're there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to go away because you don't believe in them. They still love you, even if you don't even believe in God.
Yeah.
They're still there with you, and no matter what. I've had people tell me that they may not believe in God as much, but for some reason, they believe that they're angels. And intriguing. I thought that was an interesting connection. For some reason, they don't believe that there's a higher power controlling everything, but they do believe that there are powers that try to help us every single day that we can't see or understand. So when I did that reading for him, I kind of tried to help him understand that there is a connection between God and angels. I'm not here to try to make you believe, but you know, maybe open up a little bit more to it, you know. And but he was totally open to what the angels had to say, and he said that it was a reading that really helped him out. So as long as I was able to help him, I'm not here to try to change anyone's beliefs. I just want to give people the information and the opportunity to be able to learn more and to be able to grow and to maybe be able to have a relationship with their angels, because doing that changed my life. I mean, being able to have that literally changed my life.
Yeah.
And although it's not perfect, it is for the better. I know it 100%.
There's so much that we've talked about that is just, it's so good, man. I'm gonna have to have you back if you're willing to come back. I'm gonna have to.
Oh, 100%, man. You know, I'm always willing to come back. You know, whenever I'm honored to do anyone's podcast, to be on with anyone, to interview with anybody. And you know, you've been awesome. And you know, going through everything that we've gone through, like you're probably already knowing, kind of only scratched the surface of a lot of stuff. So if there was more that you ever wanted to know or felt like your listeners wanted to know more, I'm open to it, man. Whatever.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And I'm planning on getting a reading done. I am, because I mean, let's be honest, I'm stupid on my own.
I think we all are a little bit. I mean, you know, like I said, it took me 15 years to come around to certain things. So, yeah. You know,
there's some things that literally need divine intervention.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I thought about calling my company Divine Intervention when I first started, you know, but I was like, I'll just go with being Angel Medium, Michael. It's fine. I don't want to sound too up there, you know, Divine Intervention, here I am, you know. It's like, no, I'm just a medium, I'm just a guy that's trying to help, so let's just keep it level.
Divine Doctor.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm sure that'll get a lot of feedback, you know, and I'm not sure if I'll attract the right people. I'm not sure how that works.
Well, man, thank you so much for coming on, man. It was a huge pleasure. This is eye-opening in so many ways, and I just thank you.
No, thank you for having me on. Like I said, man, it was great. You were awesome. And yeah, I would love to be able to come back for any time, you know, whenever you want to do another one, I'm there. If you don't mind, you know, I mean, I always tell people, obviously, if you want to get in contact with me, do you mind if I plug a little bit?
Oh, I was going to ask you to do it anyway. Okay. Knock it out, buddy.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I know. I just want people to be able to have the opportunities. So obviously, I have my website, angelwhisperermichael.com. That has a contact page on it that will send me an email. That's the fastest way to get a hold of me. I also have my Facebook and my Instagram at Angel Medium Michael. So you can always contact me through there. Then also, again, if it's not a reading you're looking for, you need a little bit of help with the paranormal, riseparanormal.com. Again, we have a contact page there. And then again, Instagram and Facebook at Rise Paranormal. We're right there. We try to help out as much as we can. And, you know, I love doing the readings. I do Reiki as well. So people are interested in Reiki healing. I do angel Reiki. So yeah, just whenever anyone needs anything, just contact me. I'll try to get everyone in on my schedule.
And you heard him, guys. The Instagram, the Facebook page, both for him, both for Instagram, and you know, him and Rise. Go out there, go follow, like, comment, subscribe, everything. Just blow them up with that goodness. And while you're out there doing it, I say it every week, and I mean it every week. When you find somebody that is in the paranormal community, no matter how big, no matter how small, show that love and support. And with that being said, guys, We'll catch you next time on Sparks of the Paranormal.